This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. It is Ramadan. O one who sleeps, stand up and declare the oneness of Allah, the oneness of Allah. Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. It is Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum. And a very warm welcome to the Philosophy of Fasting. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah. Peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, the last prophet and messenger of Allah. As always, it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Atam Al-Dad to the studio. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thanks so much for joining us again on the studio. Well, Doctor, I guess today I want to talk about the philosophy of fasting on travelling. Mm-hmm. So what is the ruling on the travelling? Because we mentioned about the illnesses that people may face, why they can't fast. So let's take today's episode and talk about travelling.
Okay. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. As we said, that there are some permanent illnesses or permanent excuses, and there are temporary excuses that can be seen as excuses for a person not to fast.
Right.
Now, the traveler has been given an excuse by Allah Jalla wa Ala not to fast.
Right.
You know, Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. The one who is sick, ill, or ala safar, means he is a musafir.
Right.
Then he can have the excuse not to fast, and then he must make it up. فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Also, it has been confirmed in numerous ahadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam broke his fast in traveling.
Yes.
Now, the person who is traveling, provided that travel is classified as a safar. Because in English, you know, the word travel refers to moving from one place to another
exactly,
place.
Exactly, yes.
So, for example, I can say, when I travel in London.
Yes.
Travel in London. But if I travel in London, I do not have the excuse not to fast.
Exactly.
Okay? Because that travel is not classified as the safar.
Uh-huh.
It's not classified as the safar that allows me not to fast.
Okay.
Okay, I hope that the
yes,
point is clear.
It's clear, Doctor. I just want to pick up on that, though, but, you know, just for my benefit and hopefully the viewers at home, you're mentioning travelling from, like, if you're in London to one part of London to West London or East London.
Yeah, that is not classified as
yes.
Safar that allows me to break my fast.
Well, moving on forward, let me ask you, would it not be fair to say, why are you travelling unnecessarily in Ramadan? Would you not postpone your travels, for example, if you're going from the UK to Pakistan or the UK to any Arab country? Would you not postpone these journeys?
Yes, some scholars said that it's better to avoid travelling, not because you are going to break your fast, but it will disturb you.
Right.
Okay? It will disturb you. And some scholars said if a person is traveling for haram reason,
yes.
he's not allowed to fast.
Yes.
Okay? Because they said that Allah will give you this excuse if you are involved in halal activity. Allah will not give you this excuse if you are involved in haram activities.
Right.
So they said they are not allowed, those who are traveling to do haram things, they are not allowed to break their fast. Mm. But generally speaking, we say that Allah Jalla wa Ala gave the one who is traveling long distance, like what you said, from Pakistan to America, from Pakistan to the UK and so on.
Yes.
Not to fast.
Right.
To break their fast. Mm-hmm. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to break his fast in numerous occasions. Mm. Now, the question is, what is better? To fast in Ramadan to fast during a travel in Ramadan or to break your fast. So if I am traveling, let us say from Egypt to the UK,
right,
and I can fast during Ramadan, I can fast, it's not difficult. So what is better for me, to break my fast or not to break my fast?
That's the question, Doctor, which one?
See, generally speaking, both are allowed. And during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, some people used to travel with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, the companions used to travel with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Some of them used to fast and some of them used not to fast.
Right.
Those people do not condemn the first group, and the other group would not condemn the first group.
I see.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wa sallam himself, he in certain occasions, he fasted during the travel. He was the only one to travel along with Abdullah ibn Rawaha, one of the other companions. And in other occasions, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed that it is becoming difficult for people to fast now, he started to what? He called for a glass of milk, and he drank it in front of everyone. While the people are looking, in order to tell them that it is good not to break your fast if fast is becoming difficult for you during your journey. In the other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling with the companions, and there were some fasting people and there were people who did not fast. The people who were not fasting starting to serve the other people who were fasting, because the people who were fasting felt a bit tired,
right,
and low. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "ذهب المفطرون اليوم بالأجر," that the non-fasting people got the reward today, because of what? Because they were serving the fasting people. So generally speaking, both options are valid. What is better? What is better? It is what is easier for you.
Yes.
What
of
is
course.
More convenient for you? So, if the journey is quite long and you need to maybe serve yourself, support yourself, serve others, then it's better not to fast.
I see.
However, if you fast, it's okay. If the journey is a short journey and you will be traveling, some people travel first class, flights, etc., they will not feel anything.
Of course.
Although it is okay for them not to break, okay for them to break their fast, but it's better for them not to break their fast. Why? Because they are observing fasting during the blessed month of Ramadan. And generally speaking, it is better to fast in Ramadan rather than to make it up outside the month of Ramadan.
I see.
Because the month of Ramadan, as we said before, it is a selected period of time. This is the wisdom behind it. It is a selected period of time that Allah likes the time itself.
Yes.
So it's better to make your ibadat more in the month of Ramadan.
Definitely, definitely, Doctor. You know, I totally agree with you. So something that's very clear for us is Islam is very easy and very logic, and very, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. So he gives us this time to reflect, and it's very important to make sure that we understand the reasons why.
Yes, see, you said that Allah is so merciful and Allah does not want to burden us. You know, in the ayah, when Allah Jalla wa Ala gave us the excuse not to fast if we are traveling or sick. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. After that, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah desires ease for you.
Exactly.
Allah does not desire difficulty for you.
Of course. Doctor, moving on, let's now move forward to Ramadan and the Quran, because I know over the past few weeks we've been making this program, and inshallah it benefits the viewers at home. I want to spend a little bit of time now talking about the Quran in Ramadan. It's very special.
Yes, subhanallah, Quran is very special in Ramadan, and Ramadan is the month of the Quran. You know, we have three verses in the Quran that talk about Ramadan and the Quran. The first one is in Surah Baqarah.
Yes.
When Allah Jalla wa'ala says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. Okay. Then in Surah Hamim والدخان. حاميم والكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه we have revealed it في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين we have revealed the Quran in one blessed night we were warners إنا كنا منذرين and in سورة you know in سورة القدر we all know the سورة إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر. We have revealed the Quran in the night of Qadr.
Yes.
Okay. So, Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. In fact, do you remember we mentioned Hadith Wathil ibn al-Asqa?
Yes.
When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the scriptures of Ibrahim were revealed in the first night of Ramadan.
Yes.
The Torah was revealed after 6 days of Ramadan or after 6 nights of Ramadan. And the Injil was revealed after 13 days of Ramadan. And the Zabur was revealed after 18 days of Ramadan. And the Quran was revealed in the 24th night of Ramadan. Okay, so, or after 24 nights of Ramadan.
Yes, after Ramadan.
24th, yes. Either 24th or 24th. Days of Ramadan. So what does this mean? It means that Allah Jalla wa Ala, it chose the month of Ramadan to be what? To be the month of his speech, of his revelation to come to mankind.
Of course.
So Ramadan is special because Ramadan was honored by the revelation of the Quran.
SubhanAllah.
And the night of power in particular is more special, is the best of the best because Quran was revealed in particular in that night.
MashaAllah, thank you so much for that, Doctor. That's all we have time for right now in this part. I guess we'll pick up on that after the break.
Inshallah.
Well, stay tuned. We're just going to take a quick break. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. You are honored, O month of the Quran.
Assalamu alaikum and a very warm welcome back to the philosophy of fasting. Doctor, before the break we were talking about basically the Ramadan and the Quran. I want to take this opportunity today to talk about, you know, this part of the programme. SubhanAllah, you've touched my heart. And I hope you've touched the viewers' hearts at home to, you know, encourage themselves to read the Quran. So what is the Quran so special in Ramadan? You've mentioned the part
that the Quran was revealed during the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
Here, if you allow me just
of course.
One point about the revelation of Quran in Ramadan. You know, because Allah Jalla wa'ala says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. And Allah Jalla wa'ala says, إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مبارك. And Allah Jalla wa'ala says, إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر. So the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
What does that mean? You know, Allah Jalla wa'ala is good to give a bit of background about Quran. What
of
is
course.
Quran? Quran is the speech of Allah Jalla wa Ala. So Allah Jalla wa Ala spoke the Quran long time ago. And the Quran is the exact speech of Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Not changed at all.
At all.
Yes.
Not even a single letter.
Yes.
At all.
It's a crucial point.
So Allah Jalla wa Ala spoke the Quran long time ago. And Allah Jalla wa Ala wrote the whole Quran. And Allah Jalla wa Ala kept that Quran that he wrote Jalla wa Ala in the preserved tablet في اللوح المحفوظ. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala sent the preserved tab, the Quran, from the preserved tablet to the lower heaven in the night of Al-Qadr. Mm-hmm. Okay? In the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
So this is the revelation of the Quran during the night of the Qadr, during the month of Ramadan.
SubhanAllah.
Okay? So this is the meaning of it.
Yes.
However, Allah Jalla wa Ala started to reveal the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again in the month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So sending the Quran from the preserved tablet above the seventh heaven to the lowest heaven took place in the month of Ramadan.
MashaAllah.
Then the start of revelation on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave of Hira, started as well in the month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So both, okay, descent took place in the month of Ramadan.
Uh-huh.
And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Hira cave, he received the angel Jibreel and he told him, Iqra.
Yes.
Okay, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say or said, Ma ana biqari, means I am illiterate, I cannot read.
Yes.
Then Jibreel revealed to him, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. So this verse and this surah was revealed, according to many scholars, in the month of Ramadan and in particular in Laylat al-Qadr.
Of course. Doctor, I just want to pick up on a very quick point. You mentioned the word Iqra. So what does this word specifically mean?
Iqra means read.
Right.
Iqra means read.
Yes.
So this is, as they say, this is an encouragement for us to read.
Okay.
Okay, or to recite. Now, I don't want to get into the discussion that Quran wants us to learn and read, taken from this verse.
Of course.
Okay? I don't want to get into this discussion because this verse might not lead to what people understood from it, which is reading and studying.
Of course.
It might not refer to this.
Exactly.
I don't want to get into this because people would start thinking about it.
We'd have too many emails, Doctor, regarding
yes, because people normally refer that Islam is the religion of knowledge.
Yes.
And they say that the first verse to be revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is read.
Yes.
Okay? But read here has a little bit different meaning. So so we have to be careful in which context we have to use it or we can use it. But my point is that Allah Jalla wa Ala honored the month of Ramadan by number of things, and the main thing is by sending his speech to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have the best prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of his speech, the Quran, and the best month is Ramadan.
Yes, of course.
And Quran is something special to Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Yes.
This is Quran. And Allah honored the whole humanity by sending his speech. Allah Jalla wa Ala did not create Quran and send it to us, because otherwise we will be dealing with a creation.
Exactly.
Allah revealed, spoke the Quran. The Quran is the exact words that came from Allah.
Yes.
The exact words that came from Allah. Allah spoke Quran in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel Jibreel heard the Quran from Allah directly. And then Jibreel sent it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard it directly from Jibreel. So Allah honored the whole humanity by his words.
Of course.
And we should feel this honor by what? First of all, submitting to the Quran, reading the Quran, putting the Quran into practice in everything in our life. Mm-hmm. And we will come to discuss what is our duty towards the Quran. But this is the book that we are talking about. And Allah Jalla wa Ala honored the Quran in particular, and singled it out out of the other revelations by protecting it and guarding it.
Yes.
So there is no other revelation. There is no other book of Allah. Although they are the books of Allah, the speech of Allah, that has been preserved except the Quran.
The Quran, yes.
So the Torah is the word of Allah. Mm-hmm. The Injil is the word of Allah. Mm-hmm. Okay? The Torah is the exact word of Allah. The Injil is the exact word of Allah.
Yes.
However, Allah Jalla wa Ala allowed the rabbis and monks to preserve them.
Yes.
And he took upon himself to preserve the Quran. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Quran is preserved, but the Torah, the Injil, or all other books are not preserved.
Yes. They seem to have changed over the centuries. I do know from past experience, Doctor, that definitely the Bible, we have so many versions of the Bible, you don't know what to believe or where it's coming from, because in one verse, in one chapter, it says something, and in the next Bible, it says something else.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, Brother Arif al-Islam in from South Africa.
Yes.
He told me, because he was a priest.
Yes.
He told me that there are more than 1,000 Bible.
SubhanAllah.
And we have one Quran. There is a very amazing story about the preservation of the Quran. I don't think that we have time to discuss that story. But inshallah, in the next episode,
inshallah,
please remind me
mention
that story. It should be the first thing that is mentioned.
For sure.
Inshallah. But just see, we have to be careful. Bible is not the Torah.
Exactly.
Our Injil is not the Torah. The Old Testament is not the Injil, the Torah. The New Testament is not the Injil.
Yes.
The Torah is totally different from the Bible. The Injil is totally different from the Bible.
Definitely.
And Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed Torah, and Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed another book called Injil. Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed Torah to Musa alayhi salam. Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed Injil to Isa alayhi salam. They are considered to be the speech of Allah, as the Quran is the speech of Allah. And we can swear by the Quran, and we can swear by the Injil. We can swear by the Torah. We can say by the Quran, wal Quran, wa kitab Allah. Okay? And we can swear by the Injil and the Torah. But we cannot swear by the Bible. We cannot put our hand over the Bible and swear.
That was a question I was going to ask you, Doctor.
Because in the Bible and Old Testament and the New Testament, they are not the books of Allah.
Yes. That was one of the questions I was going to ask you, Doctor, because I do know in the court system in the UK, if you have to go to court for any reason, if you're called for justice service or something like this, they say, you know, you must put your hand on the book of the Bible and say, I swear by this Bible. So that's cleared that question up there, Doctor. Let's very quickly round the programme up today by saying the Quran was revealed after the 24th night of Ramadan, as we found out. And it's the only book that's not been changed. And you're saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved this book for himself. So it has not been
by
changed.
Himself.
By himself.
Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun.
SubhanAllah.
We have revealed the dhikr. Mm-hmm. And dhikr refers to either the Quran only, or refers to Quran and Sunnah according to some other scholars. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says, wa inna, we are going to guard it. Wa inna lahu lahafidhun. We are going to guard that. We are going to protect it. That's why the Quran, from the time of the Prophet ﷺ until our time, is protected, and it has not been changed. And if there is a change, it will be identified, and that is not the Quran. And this will be, inshallah, mentioned in the beginning of the coming
the next
episode.
Program. Thank you so much, Doctor, for joining us in the studio. That's all we have time for right now.
Jazakallah khair for that.
Well, thanks, dear viewers, for watching. Until next time, I'll leave you in the safe care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran.